Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate St. Patrick, Bishop and missionary to Ireland. We won't be talking about leprechauns or shamrocks or green beer, but rather looking at the life of an extraordinary Christian who learned to trust God in every and all circumstances. Patrick was born in Wales to a family that was probably what we would consider upper middle class, a comfortable life, until some pirate raiders came from Ireland, captured him, and sold him into slavery. He was put into service as a shepherd boy on the green Irish hillsides. A lonely and isolated existence, and quite the opposite of the comfortable childhood he had experienced. His family were Christian. Some sources suggest that there may even have been some priests in his family. But like many young people, Patrick didn't think very much about his faith or his spiritual life until he found himself alone with no one to talk to except the sheep and God. But in his later writings, we find his reflections on a time when he grew closer and closer to God. It was through a vision that he was led out of his slavery, quite the miracle story, actually, if you want to look it up. It's quite likely that at some point he studied theology on the European continent and was priested. And after another vision in which he felt that he was being called back to Ireland, he was made a missionary bishop, historically one of the first, and sent to bring the gospel to Ireland. Now, Patrick was not the first Christian in Ireland, but he is largely considered the father of Irish Christianity. And over a ministry of many years, he founded hundreds of churches and, according to some sources, ordained over 3,000 priests. Now, historically, when Christianity spread through Europe, there was much violence and bloodshed, with some people literally converting at the point of a sword. The same was not true in Ireland. In fact, Patrick so impressed the chieftains and the princes and the kings of Ireland that whether or not they converted, they gave him permission to proclaim the gospel message in their lands. But especially in his early years there, you would not have called Ireland a very civilized place. Slavery was still practiced, and raiding parties roamed the countryside to steal sheep and cattle. In this context, the faith and trust in God that had grown so deeply in Patrick's soul definitely stood him in good stead. He said, "Every day I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, but I am not afraid of any of these things, for I have put myself into the hands of God Almighty." So today we celebrate Patrick. But our purpose is not just to celebrate Patrick, but to be inspired by him. What does the life of this extraordinary missionary bishop have to teach all of us? As I read the story of his early life, I found myself also reflecting on the story of Joseph, someone else who had been sold into slavery and had to learn to trust God through very difficult circumstances. I found myself thinking about our lives. In the West, we have it easy in comparison. We have the freedom to worship or not. We are not likely to be carried off by bandits unless we travel to some part of the world that is less safe. And we live in relative comfort. Now, the downside of living in the relatively affluent West is that we can easily slide into a kind of complacency that almost believes that we're doing okay with or without God. The kind of complacency that Patrick probably experienced as a teenager. It was only when he found himself in dire straits that he turned to God. It has been said that there are no atheists in foxholes, a wartime adage that pointed to the fact that when in places of fear or danger, the human instinct is to turn to God. When we cannot control our lives, we are pushed to reliance and trust in God. My prayer for all of us is that it would not take tragedy for us to know that in God we live and move and have our being, and to live in daily thankful communion with God. Once the experience of silence and isolation had drawn Patrick deeply into a life with God, he discovered that God's hand was upon him, leading and guiding him into the next stage of his life. In Patrick's case, it was dreams and visions. For some saints, there was a particular Bible verse that changed the course of their lives. God's desire is to be known by us, and that we learn to identify when God is pushing, prodding, or enticing us into some life choice or direction. And the starting point is to spend time with God in worship, study, and prayer. Those are the activities that shaped the saints of old and through which God still intends to shape our lives. Patrick lived in a culture that, for the most part, did not know the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Irish culture was definitely spiritual, but it was not Christian. Today, it is said that one of the largest groups of people are the ones who claim to be spiritual but not religious. So even in our world, there is an openness to authentic spirituality. And like Patrick, we have a message of good news to share. We may not be called to be missionaries in a foreign land, but every Christian is in a position to reach out with God's love and to look for those opportunities to share the faith and the hope that we have because Jesus has become real in our lives. People identify fear as the biggest obstacle to sharing the faith. Maybe we, like Patrick, can overcome that fear by entrusting ourselves and the outcome of these conversations to God. Probably none of us is going to Christianize a whole country, but God has put each of us in our own contexts to shine that light of faith and love. And on St. Patrick's Day, I want to celebrate also some of what was central to the emerging Irish experience of Christianity. Irish Christianity was creation-centered. They saw God at work not just in the church, but in the whole of creation. The heavens did declare to them the glory of God, and the mountains his majesty. The goodness of God was celebrated in the goodness of creation. Irish Christianity, surprising given that this was so many centuries ago, was actually also feminist. It valued the role of women in church and society and produced a plethora of female saints. Women ran abbeys that housed both monks and nuns, and women saints like Brigid had ministries of proclamation of the gospel and healing throughout Ireland. In fact, today you can still visit a place in Ireland that is a bit of a fountain, a a place where Bridget preached and the waters were said to have healing properties. Irish Christianity was penitential. They took sin seriously and made confession to their priests regularly. But in this penitential practice, they were constantly turning back to God for the renewal of their lives. Irish Christianity celebrated the communion of saints. Having grown up with the concept of thin places where heaven and earth seem very close to each other, they reveled in the reality of saints who looked over them and witnessed their journey with God. And Irish Christianity firmly focused on the reality of God in daily life. God was not just stuck away in churches or monasteries or far away in an inaccessible heaven. There was no great divide between the sacred and the secular. Rather, the presence of God could be felt and celebrated in every moment. So today we celebrate Patrick. And maybe we can find some inspiration both in his life and in the kind of Christianity that developed in Ireland because he was bold enough to preach the gospel to a pagan people. The story of Patrick can encourage us to believe that when the hand of God is upon our lives, great things can happen. And as we proclaim every Sunday, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Amen.